Let's turn now back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I'm not going to read that entire section of 1 through 14, but I do want to read verses 8 and 9. Romans 8, 8 and 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. This is about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in the life of the believer. Anyone that is a believer, anyone that has been born again, has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. A beautiful, beautiful truth. Ezekiel 36:27, and I will pray my Spirit within you. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? And 2 Timothy 1:14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. I think if I were to say nothing more than to just say it over and over and over, that if you are a Christian, that if you have been born again, that you by name have the Holy Spirit in you. It is an overwhelming contemplation, and that is what has brought me to this point. Now, the Scripture speaks of the flesh. It talks about the flesh. And when, in this particular case, when it is talking about the flesh, it is talking about those that are unconverted. Because, as I said this morning, there are only two types of people. There are those that are saved, on the one hand, and those that are unsaved, on the other. And there is nothing in between. There are those that have Christ who are Christians, those that do not and are not. So, when we read here about those that are in the flesh, it is speaking of those that are by nature unconverted. They are in an unconverted state, and therefore they cannot please God. That is the point here. They cannot please God because they do not know Him aright. They are not known by Him as His elect, as His children. They have not been born again. Their understanding has not been opened. Now, it may be that the work that they do, the different things that they do and are involved in, the work itself may be fine and good. But if it is not done from a right motive and a right principle and to the glory of God and for Jesus' sake and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is not a good work to that individual. the second part of our verse, verse 9, 9b. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The apostle, in order to confirm those to whom he wrote in the assurance of their happy condition, namely, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13 tells us, hereby we absolutely know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. 1 John 4:13. This indwelling of the Spirit is an evidence, it's a sure evidence of a renewed heart and of a renewed state. Believers should be careful, as it tells us in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we should labor to enjoy a constant sense of His presence in our hearts. So, where we left off this morning, in our verse, the word Spirit, verse 9, the word Spirit occurs three times. The first is a reference of the gift and grace of regeneration. The second and third denote the author of that gift, namely, the Holy Spirit. Everything done by Him in His character tends to holiness. It is His divine office to apply the salvation of Jesus and make it effectual. Now, the Father gave the sinners, His elect, to the Son. The Son redeemed them. But they are in that common corruption. They are dead in trespasses and sins. Till the Spirit of life opens up their heart to receive them and enters into them and unites them by faith to the Savior. If you've been born again, that is what has happened to you. And then makes you subject to the new birth. Of the Holy Spirit, it is said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" In other words, you are the building of God. This right here is the building of God. Ephesians 2:22 says, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Matthew Henry says, "Every Christian is a living temple or building of the living God." God dwelt in the Jewish temple, took possession of it, and resided in it by that glorious cloud that was taken of His presence with that people. So Christ, by His Spirit, dwells in all true believers. The temple was devoted and consecrated to God and set apart from every common to an holy use. to the immediate service of God. So all Christians are separate from common uses and set apart for God and His service. What about Calvin? What does he say? For this reason, he says, quoting Calvin, for this reason are ye the temples of God, because He dwells in you by His Spirit. For no unclean place can be the habitation of God. He makes use of two additional arguments in order to deter us from filthiness. First, that our bodies are the temple of the Spirit. And secondly, that the Lord has bought us to Himself as His property. That, my friend, should keep us from sin. That should be a deterrent to sin right there. That our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and that the Lord has bought us to Himself as His own property. In the verse John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What did the Lord mean by this? How can the invisible Spirit be seen? 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are foolishness unto him. They are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. It is a spiritual seeing. He cannot see because it is something that is spiritual. And why cannot those who are of the world see Him? Because they have never been born again. What does the verse tell us? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Those things are foolishness unto him. When we go to the doors around here and we knock on the doors and we talk to the various people that we talk to who are in an unconverted state, and we ask them, have you been born again? Do you know what that... have you ever heard that term, born again? And they look at you with a puzzled look, so many of them, and say, born again, I'm not sure I've ever heard that term or that phrase before. It was very much like Nicodemus, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and told him, who was a religious leader, a Pharisee, and said, Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus didn't know how to answer the Lord Jesus either. How can a man be born when he's old? He thought it was something of the flesh still. And it wasn't. It was of the Spirit. It was something that is spiritually discerned. And until that happens, all of that is foolishness. It's mumbo jumbo. But once one has been born again, once one has been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, one is then able to see aright, read the Word of God aright, understand the Word of God. It is no longer foolishness unto him. Pink says of John 14:17, the Lord Jesus here promised that the third person of the Holy Trinity should take up his abode with believers, making their bodies his temple. Marvelous grace was this. But on what ground does the Holy Spirit enter and indwell the Christian? Not because of any personal fitness, which he discovers there. For the old evil nature still remains in the believer. How, then, is it possible for the Holy Spirit to dwell where sin is still present? Jehovah of old dwelt in the midst of Israel, even when they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. He did so on the ground of atoning blood. And in like manner, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer now as the witness to this excellency and sufficiency of that one offering of Christ, which was perfected forever in them that are set apart by the Holy Spirit. Christians are holy by profession and should be pure and clean, both in heart and conversation. We should heartily abhor and carefully avoid what will defile God's temple and prostitute what ought to be sacred to Him. So when we think of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, this is what we should think about. This is what we should be driven to. That we should heartily, with all of our hearts, abhor, carefully avoid, not just avoid something, but carefully avoid it, anything that would defile the temple of God. Of which temple you are if you have been born again. Again, the question may be asked, how the Holy Spirit, who is co-essential with the Father and Son, and consequently infinite, can dwell in believers? The answer is that though He is everywhere present, He is said nevertheless to dwell in them on account of His operation and grace of regeneration. It is the Holy Spirit who unites you, if you have been born again, to Christ the Lord. It is He who quickens and regenerates you, and on account of which regeneration is called the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit who leads, who rules, who governs you, all as we read in verse 14 of our chapter. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What does this expression, dwell in you, mean? That being united to Jesus Christ and regenerated, the Holy Spirit dwells in His people, not as one that is inactive, but operates in them and in you continually, and leads and governs you in this indwelling. The effects of these are illumination, sanctification, supplication, consolation. One writer says, He is the author of regeneration, the pledge of the promised inheritance, and as it were, the handwriting of eternal salvation, who makes us the temple of God and His house. And as it says in Romans 8:26, who intercedes for us with groaning which cannot be uttered, acting as our advocate and defender, dwelling in our bodies and sanctifying you for all eternity. He it is who fights against the flesh, and it is the flesh that fights against the Spirit. It is Jesus Christ who gives to His people the Holy Spirit. In John 16:7, Jesus says, "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Romans 8:9. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So Haldane, in his commentary on Romans, says that here is a necessary reservation. If the Spirit of God did not really dwell in any of those whom the apostle addressed, they were still in the flesh. Notwithstanding all their profession and all their present appearances and persuasions respecting them. And no doubt some will be found to have escaped a time the pollutions of the world, who may afterwards show that they were never renewed in heart. So there may be those that have a profession, and there may be those that have appearances and persuasions about themselves. And they may, as Haldane says, have escaped for a time the pollutions of the world, who may afterwards show that they were never renewed in heart. There would be no perseverance of the saints. Many ridicule those who speak of the Holy Spirit as dwelling in believers. Yet if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, you are still in the flesh, and that means that you are still an enemy of God. The same Spirit that is called the Spirit of God in the preceding part of this verse, in verse 9, is here called the Spirit of Christ. Because Christ, having by virtue of His sacrifice obtained the Spirit for His people, sends Him into their hearts. John 16:7. Christ then, who sends the Holy Spirit, must be God. Sounds strange for me to even say that to you here, because I know that you know that. But every Christian has the Spirit of Christ dwelling in him. And when Christ takes possession of any man as his, he puts his Holy Spirit within him. And without the presence of his Spirit, we can have no interest in Christ whatsoever. Verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." In verses 7 and 8, Paul had confirmed that to be carnally minded is death. He now illustrates the opposite declaration, that to be spiritually minded is life. So what is it exactly? What is it exactly that we have looked at here? That if you are still in the flesh, if you are an unbeliever, you do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. What brought me to this in the first place was the overwhelming contemplation of God dwelling within me by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. It is overwhelming. It is an overwhelming contemplation. It is one for our most earnest thoughts, because if we exit this life, if we leave this life as we know it, without the Savior, without Jesus Christ, we have nothing left for us but an eternity of hell. Now that's what the Bible has to say. It's not me. It's not my words. It's God's words. And they are true because they are God's words. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I would urge upon you again that if you see yourself without the Savior, that you repent of your sins and be converted, and ask the Lord to save you from your sins. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of this passage. Thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that it might, that as we have looked at this today, that we might heartily abhor that which you abhor, and that we may realize that we are the temple of God, that we are your building. Thank you, Lord. And we pray for any that will hear this message that does not know you as their Lord and as their Savior, as their prophet, their priest, and their king, that you would be pleased to work mightily in their minds and in their hearts unto salvation. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.